watching the picture, like looking at the pictures, it's so beautiful, but I'm so glad that we don't have to like do it again, you know? I'm out of breath.
So always have symptoms. Always symptoms. Okay. We're looking at the same Parshat Shlach. Okay?
And we're reading Korach, right?
You're in Korach this week.
Yeah.
We're doing Shlach. We're not going to catch up for another till right before Tisha B'Av, right? I mean, Devarim is right before Tisha B'Av. So week before that, we'll have a double Parsha of Matat Masai.
Okay, so you do double and we don't do double. And that's why.
Right. Right. We should have done a double right after week after Pesach, and I still don't understand why, but we're going to do Shlach. So we're talking about spies. Okay?
There's a reason why. I'm going to send you the reason why, okay?
Okay. I've heard reasons offered. I've never seen a reason that I like.
Also, Chabal, because kids are not learning these summer parshios. Like in Israel, the kids are learning Shlach and Korach in school. Like these are huge parshios, but in America, school's over. Like they don't learn them.
Oh, that's funny.
That is always good. Summer parshios that nobody has any idea what happens in Pinchas.
Right, because they don't learn it. Right, unless,
Okay. So we got the narrative there. You actually have the spies, right? And they get decreed. You know, it's 40 years in the wilderness. And then Korach is really a reaction to that, right? Korach rebels because Moshe doesn't have any faith in the people anymore. It's easy to start a rebellion right now. But between the narratives, spies, Korach, end of Parshat Shlach, there's a series of laws, the six paragraphs of legal stuff. It starts at Baal B'nai Israel, Martalehem, Kibbol Arts, etc. About the mitzvah of challah and nisuch of libations and mincha for karbanot, about the karban shogeg for Avodah Zarah. You know, if you worship Avodah Zarah accidentally, you didn't realize this really was Avodah Zarah. And the Parshat Tzitzit. Okay? This is one we're familiar with. And before about the, you know, probably 5 years ago, I did the Chumash here talking about why these and that these laws generally can see them as being a response to what happened after the Shlach, after the spies and decree. And the mitzvah start with Kita Vola Eretz Moshevotechem Asher Nitzanachem, what you have to do this. As a reminder, you're still going to Eretz Yisrael. Yeah, you've got a one generation break. But here are mitzvot that, remember, you're going to do these in Eretz Yisrael. You'll still have hope of Eretz Yisrael. And then two is the Lotaturach Rebalkam. Don't be a taturu, right? Same as the spies. Don't go after your eyes. Remember what you know. But in the middle of the legal stuff that interrupts the narrative, there's a little narrative in between that. Right in the middle. And that's the story of the Mekashesh Yitzin. So you've been in Israel by Midbar. Verse 2, Bnei Israel were in the wilderness. They found somebody who's gathering wood on Shabbos. That's a bad thing. The Gemara says exactly what it was. I guess that seems to be he was carrying, right? The wilderness, they didn't put an Erev up in the wilderness. He's gathering sticks. That's wrong. And those who found him brought him. The one who found him gathering wood. And Moshe, they bring him to Moshe and to in front of all the people, he's going to be tried. And they put him in jail. It wasn't clear what to do with it. And then Hashem tells Moshe, Chol Shabbos, he has to die. The concept of Mechal Shabbos Farfar Hesia is someone who's written themselves out of the Jewish community. Like such a person, even today, you're not supposed to give an aliyah to. You know, not supposed to call them and give them a kavod. This is the actual specific crime where there are witnesses.
Oh.
You do it despite the witnesses telling you, don't do it.
Presumably there was warning or something, like, hey, you're not supposed to do that. And
he did it anyway, right? That's important. Right, that's why it repeats that. They Mtu Oto, and then the ones who found him brought him. right? They, he told them, okay, you can't do this. You're going to get put, you get put to death. And they bring him to Moshe and he says, he's going to be stoned. It's here to call a dot. So the people, here's a technical term for what we call Sanhedrin for the judges, bring him outside the camp. They stone him and he's put to death as Hashem commanded. But what exactly was Mokeshesh doing? What's the story doing here? Again, it's a narrative in the midst of the sort of the laws that's in the middle of some other narrative. To answer what's going on here, we're going to jump forward. Even past where Eretz Yisrael is reading, we're going to jump forward another 11 prakim. We're going to jump forward another 39 years. Here's the story of Benot Slavchad. The daughter of Slavchad from the family of Menashe and Yosef, they came. Those are all good names. You should name your kids that. No one ever named Machla, I know. Noah, Milka, Tirsa, those are good names.
But Machla, Nomi named her son Machla.
With a chet? Isn't the girl
that one of Nomi and Abimelech's sons?
That's Machla with a chet.
Oh.
There's a chet. And Machla with a chet means destruction. That's not like a positive name.
Oh, I thought it meant sick.
Yeah, right. Machlon is sick and Kilion is the destruction. Right. Sorry. But this is spelled differently.
Oh.
You didn't make it there. But Timon the same Moshe. So they go in front of Moshe, say Elazar, Kohen, in front of Elazar, because Aaron's already died. Zain Shiim, the Kol Haida, same Kol Haida as we saw before. Again, they're coming for a judgment. Petach Omoed, and they are asked the following. Avinu met b'Midbar. Our father died in the wilderness. V'hud lo yaba tocha eda, and he was not a member of the congregation. Noadim al Hashem, that congregated against God. B'dak Korach v'Korach, ki v'cheto met, because he died for his own sin. Uvanim lo yilo. He didn't have any sons. Lama yigarashim Avinu mitoch mishpachto. Why should his name be lost among his family? Ki ein lo ben, just because he doesn't have a son. Tinal lanu achuzav v'toch achi avinu. Let us inherit. With our father, among the brothers of our father, they cried Moshe and Hashem, and Moshe doesn't know what to do, and asked Hashem, what should I do with these women who are demanding their own rights? We know the story. The Gemara notes that in Torah Slavchad, which again isn't to Pasha Korach, not for a while now, it says that the daughters emphasized that it was Bechet Omet. He died for his own sin. And he wasn't part
as opposed
of
to just
the,
like he wasn't part of the rebellions, he was just part of the generation, so he died. It's specifically saying he had some kind of chet.
Right. So neither he wasn't right. Part of the rebellion, so he listed all that. The Gemara says that the Tanya Avinu met by part of Slavchad, that Slavchad died in the wilderness. He wasn't part of the Meraglim, the ones who complained. That Korach, he wasn't Kamashma'o literally, he wasn't part of Korach. But again, he did have a chet. It wasn't just one that died along the way, but it wasn't one of the major ones, any of the major betocha eidah, communal ones. So, screams out, what chet? You got a chet vacuum. So I say that. We have a person with anonymous sin. That's our mekosheshe tim. We have our pasha, and now we have a sin with an anonymous person. That's, brother. The person with anonymous sin is Slavchad, right? He had a chet, and we have a sin with an anonymous person. We have a mekoshesh etzim. That's a perfect agadic match. And so that's what Rabbi Akiva says. Verse 5. Tanur Rabbanan. The koshesh is the Slavchad. The guy who was gathering wood, that was Slavchad. And we're going to prove it from a textual point of view. We're going to do a David Foreman, right? Where have you heard this before? Right. Our part of the mekoshesh etzim says, are you b'nei Yisrael b'midbar? They were Bamidbar. Lohana Omer Avinu Mit Bamidbar. Right, we got the word Bamidbar in both places. Malahalan Slavchad, Machkan Slavchad. Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Okay, we're going to make this textual comparison. We're going to make the Gezeirah Shavah.
Even though, like, it's all in the Midbar right now.
I'm sorry?
Meaning, word.
Ah, that's the problem. That like, samibar is not a good word if you want to say where we've heard this before, because the whole parrot, the whole sefer is called samibar.
Right. Okay? Right. That's so, where they are for 4 years. So.
That is exactly right. So hold that point. We're going to complain to Rabbi Akiva. Basically, you're doing it, got it wrong. Okay? You may be Rabbi Akiva, but you're no David Foreman.
Ooh.
Get there.
Okay, I don't know if I can say that, so, but you can say that.
Right, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera is going to say exactly that. Okay, Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera. Okay, this is the same Gemara. Okay, colleague Rabbi Akiva. Akiva, right? We didn't call each other Rabbi. Right? It's Akiva. Ben Kak, no matter what. You're gonna pay for what you just said. You're gonna be called judgment. If you're right in Slavkat is because you see him, Hatorah Kisito. The Torah didn't say it. And you wanna tell everybody what's going on, you think that you can reveal it, but you can't say that about him. And if not, you're saying Lashon Hara, poor Slavkat, that he did this sin. Okay? And the Gemara goes on and says, wait, it's Erev Shabbat, right? The word's here, the word there. It's one of the Midot Shen Torah Nireshet Behen. You can't deny that because you don't like it. But the answer is that Erev Shabbat, literally, as a Midot Shen Torah Nireshet Behen, I say, here's a word here, there's a word there, we're going to connect them. That is a specific halakha, it's a technique of Midrash Halakha, and you can't just apply it yourself.
I think that there's a typo in the second line. It says it's legitimate. Maybe it's legitimate.
It is legitimate. Yeah, that's it. They spell legitimate, right?
No, that's fine. I think it's just missing like an is or an apostrophe.
It is legitimate. Okay. It is legitimate. Thank you. You can't apply it yourself. You need a Masorah for that. That's the principle here. Rashi says here in verse 7. Oh, that was first there. Rashi says, "Ein adam dan gezerah shabbah me'atzmo." You can't make your own gezerah shabbah here. You can do what Rabbi Foreman does if it's something, you know, in terms of the text, in terms of trying to understand it, but say, here's a word, that's not enough. You can't connect it.
It has to be from Masorah?
Right. To take Xerah, so something like we like Ketvav by Pesach and Sukkot. It says both from the Sukkot on the 15th of the month, Pesach on the 15th of the month, so we say a lot of the halakhot are overlapped. And you say, wait, 15, why is that, why should that be a thing? Why should that be a reason to connect them? And the answer is this, Masorah is okay, that we have Masorah that they are in fact connected. You start with a connection, and then you say, here's the word. You can't make it up yourself. Okay? And especially with a word like midbar, which, as you said, happens all the time. It's not a very strong connection. So the way the Gemara puts it is that Ela ha-gemar gezera sheva. Wait, if Rabbi Akiva has it learned, Gemar here, in the Gemara, the word Gemar means has a tradition of it's gezera sheva. How can you object to it? If it's there, it's there. You can say it. What? No, the answer is gezera sheva lo gemar. Rabbi Akiva did not have a tradition of Gezera Shabbat, and this is the way Mr. Shatz puts it. Lo Gamir Rabbi Akiva Gezera Shabbat. This wasn't a tradition. He had Elhu Darash La'atmo. He made this drasha on his own. It wasn't a halakhic Gezera Shabbat. He made the drasha that, okay, here's the word, here's the word, we're going to make this, we're going to try to figure out who this Mekoshesh Yitzim is. Rabbi Shulman's often made the point that Midrash Agadah is different than Midrash Halakha.
Ah.
Okay. Agadot are not a Kabbalah. They're not a Masorah. The Agadot are not handed down. We don't claim that Hashem told Moshe all the Agadot. The comments of the individual rabbis who are making them. They are part of Torah Shebal Peh, where the Midrash Halakha is, but a much more subtle way. The purpose of the narrative, the narrative of Torah Shebal Peh, the stories of Reishis, are there to teach us values and ideas. Things that can't be put into specifics, do this, do that. Read the stories and we see what happens. The stories of the Agadot are also meant to teach us those values and the ideas of Torah Shebal Peh, but the actual details we're not claiming are part of that original Moshe Kibbutz Torah Mishinai. We put that as, like, Gedora meant to be seriously, but not taken literally. That's the bottom line. So Rabbi Akiva is saying this, I got that. Rabbi Yehuda ben Peter is saying, you're doing I got it wrong. You can't do that. You're playing Rabbi Foreman, looking for the textual similarities, but there has to be something deep there. You can't just connect the words there. You've got to
mess. Is there some other connection? Other than just like, hey, it's a vacuum and we have all this anonymity and like it.
Well, that's, so, and that's what you have, in order to be a gadda, there has to be a thematic connection, that there's a message for why you're connecting them. So we'll get to that. Okay, and the thing about Rabbi Akiva being criticized is even more explicit in other Gemara, where in Chagiga, where here's the first line, Tashma, this is what, you can say, we can, right, I can say about Rabbi Akiva. So, if you've been learning Daniel with Rabbi Shulman, you know, Daniel Perek Zion, Daniel has this vision of the future of the Persian Empire. Mine is Persian. No, this is the Babylonian Empire. I'm not going to be sure of that. Okay, it says, Adi, and the Beit Mitch will be destroyed. Adi Karsin Ramin till the thrones, Karsan is plural, the Karsan of the throne, the high thrones appear, Vatik Yomin Yativ, and the elder of days sit. That's Aramaic. And the question they're asking over there in Kafiga is, why is it two? Why thrones? That's plural. Why is God sitting on thrones? Yativ Yomin.
Oh, like in Hebrew, a kulsa is like a... Yeah. Is like a squishy living room chair, like a.
Okay, so
maybe that's where it's from.
Why is Hashem sitting on a beanbag?
Not a beanbag. Okay. Like a living room chair, not like a.
Oh, okay, like a recliner. Oh, speaking of which, Liora and Ara and good. I can't keep track of my kids anymore. Liora and Gary.
Recliner, like a recliner.
No, but it doesn't have to be recliner. Just like a. It could just be like a regular with like a cushion, meaning not like a hard plastic chair, but like a cool saw, like if you go to the store. Something like that.
An upholstered chair. Okay, so why does Hashem need two upholstered chairs? Why is it plural? That's the key thing. And the question here, so, and the answer is we have Echad Ladin, the Echad Litzaka, that these are Hashem's two thrones, one for Midah Din, one Midah Harachamim, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. That's Rabbi Akiva reads it. Amr Loba Elizabeth Azariah. So Elizabeth Azariah, again, is one of his, you know, he's a Harani Nikavench, even to now, one of his younger colleagues, tells him, Akiva, Malacha Etel Haggadah. Akiva, what are you doing trying to learn Haggadah? Halach Midiratecha. You know, stop talking. As Rashi puts it, Etel Negaim Ba'Allah. Wait till you get to Negaim Ba'Allah. You do Halacha. You are Rabbi Akiva. You can Darshan. You're right. You do Midrash Halacha. You can look at every quote, every letter, and every word. By halacha, about the laws of Tumat Ola, by the laws of Tarat, those have lots of texts you can derive from.
Malacha, it sounds like a little chutzpani.
They are. It is chutzpani. Yes. And this, all right, I'm not saying, I'm reading the Gemara here, right? This is his colleague telling him, right, you're Rabbi Akiva, you're brilliant. This isn't your field, okay? Hold the Agada to stuff for somebody else. You're specified to Ace of the Guy, Shehan Halachot, Amukot, these are the Palachas. You definitely should do this. Okay, so now who's Slavka? Same Gemara that Rabbi Akiva said, Slavka was the Mokashay Shetzin. The Gemara answers, Ela Mehecha Hava. So who is this Slavka? Where did he come from? What was his chet? We still want to answer that. And it comes out of Vayapilu Hava. Right, he is a parsha of Vayapilu. What's the parsha of Vayapilu? That was last week's parsha. Another story, right after the sin of the spies.
They went too early, right?
Yeah, thank you. The Ma'apilim.
Right.
Like the Aliyah Bet.
Right.
So now, Ani Hashem Dibarti, Hashem gives the decree, Lo Zoreta, L'chol Eidah, this is what I will do, they oppose the opposite. This whole evil congregation, those who are congregating against me, they will die in this midbar, right? Midbar. And Moshe told these things to Bnei Israel. And everybody was sad. And some people got up early and they climbed the hills and they said, Hinena, we're here. We're going to the place that God told us. We have sinned. We rejected it. We're going to go anyway. Moshe tells them, why are you violating God's word? You will not succeed.
Wait, which har is this? This is in Israel?
It was a hill basically separating them. They're on the border of Eretz Yisrael. They're going to go over the hills and go into Eretz Yisrael. Hashem just told them, no, turn south, head down to Eilat. They said, well, we're going north.
Okay.
Al-Talu, don't go up. You can't make Aliyah. Hashem's not with you. Don't try to attack anybody with Ne'avaychem. Don't try to confront your enemies. Because Amalek and Canaan are there in front of you. You're all going to die by the sword. Because you are turning from God. God will not be with you. You will not win. That's the Vayapilu, right? And Rashi translates, they had chutzpah. They went up the hill. And the Aaron Moshe didn't move from the camp. And the Amalek and Canaan were living there, came down, and they attacked them and wiped them out until they were destroyed. That's the Ma'apilin.
Wait, wouldn't this be considered one of the rebellions? And didn't we just say he wasn't part of one of the rebellions?
It was, right, but it was not really one of the rebellions. And what would it mean if we say Slavkot is part of the Ma'apilim? Because fundamentally, it wasn't there. I mean, they violated what Hashem said, but they said Chatanu. They were trying to do the right thing. We talked to us in one of the previous year about that. And this is a wonderful paragraph from Tzedek HaKohen, the God Tzedek, starts with the Gemara, that the Ikvut V'shicha Chupse Yesadia, and the footsteps of Mashiach. If Mashiach comes, then there will be more chutzpah in the world. Everyone's going to be chutzpah. Usually taken as a negative thing. Tzedek says it's a positive thing. So there's a Gemara in Pesachim that says, Kol Masha Yomar Lacha Balabayit. You're a guest. Whatever the Balabayit tells you, I say you should listen to the Balabayit, Chutz Mitzei. Except if the Balabayit tells you to leave. Host tells you to leave, you can say, no, I'm staying. That's not a statement of Derech Eretz if you're actually a guest in a host's house. If you overstayed your welcome, you probably should leave. It's metaphorical. Okay? What is he talking about? And it was not for naught that Hashem taught that the Torah writes down the stories of Ma'apilim, who went to the Eretz Yisrael even though Hashem said not to. They believed in Moshe. Why did they listen? Why did they listen to Moshe said, don't go up? Right? That's what Hashem says. You can't go into your home. We're still going to go anyway. That's why they had the chutzpah to go, to make aliyah. Moshe Amrozal, the chutzpah, Malchuta Blotaga, the chutzpah of the king, without a crown. We get a little Kabbalistic here. Perski Adua is Malchut to Knesset Israel. That's Midah Malchut refers to the community of Israel. That Israel, the Jews have chutzpah without a crown, and Keter, the crown here, is short Ratzon Hashem. So that's what the Jews will have chutzpah to do what's right, even if God doesn't want them to do that. Rotzilamar, Memshalot, Me'atua, B'liratzon HaRotzim. Jews are going to do what they want without God's will. The Jews want to come close from their own desire. So that when the Ma'apilim are going up, it's because they want to go to Eretz Yisrael so much. They're even willing to go when a citizen's not to. They're the opposite of the generation of the spies. And they were not successful. Because, this is an expression from David and Bathsheba, in the Gemara there, they ate the fruit unripe. They went too early. Right? When it says, that in the, when Mashiach comes, the chutzpah will increase. That the time for chutzpah will be in the ikud of Mashiach. That's when you should be ma'apilim and go into Eretz Yisrael, even without, and that's his message, even without Mashiach coming and telling you to go. Say, you don't have a message from Hashem to tell you to go to Eretz Yisrael. This is the time to go. You'll know it's time to go. When the chutzpah of going anyway increases. V'kach Amar Moshe, he posted that. So Moshe tells them, this will not succeed, meaning, I understand what you're doing, but right now, it won't succeed. There will come a time to go into Eretz Yisrael that isn't for Ratzon Hashem. Zionists quote this all the time. The day Akish, the Bekom Makom, Dershu Chazal, Hibolo Acher. It's now, but it's not some other time. This idea, if you feel ikvud the Mashiach, that as Mashiach, before Mashiach comes, it's time to be ma'apilim and go up to go and make aliyah to Eretz Israel.
Can I ask two questions?
Yeah.
Okay. First of all, I feel like this whole generation, like we've been emphasizing this, the concept of like kasher tziva Hashem, kasher tziva Hashem, kasher tziva Hashem, yeah. Like. We're a new nation and part of our freedom is following the Torah. So it doesn't matter whether you have good, they all had good intentions. Korach had good intent. Like they all had, saying like, well, they wanted to do a good thing. They weren't trying to be rebellious. Like they all thought that they had the right thing. So I don't know why this is different than other rebellions. The whole point is they weren't listening to Hashem. Like the Egel HaZahav, it was like totally good intentions also. It was still really, really wrong. Like I don't understand why this is different.
This one is more explicitly the good intent. This is the one where we're actually calling it Avera Bishma. Okay, right. No one else, you didn't mention that Masculine anywhere. The other rebellions, this was bad, this was against Moshe. This one has a much more, has a positive, it's wrong. No question about it. They were wrong and they all died. But here's a little more explicit that they really wanted to do this. They really wanted to do something that was a positive thing. They did about it the wrong way. But it was a positive. It was underlying it. We were sympathetic with them. Really not sympathetic with the Egel. I mean, we could argue you could be sympathetic with Aaron and the Egel Azab. Really not sympathetic with Korah. This is not presented in the Torah as a negative thing. And really, that's what Rabbi Huda ben Batera is saying about Bnei Slavchad. That's what makes the connection. But they're telling Moshe that Abba taught us about the importance of Chibat Eretz Yisrael. He gave his life, a Kiddush Haaretz. It wasn't Kiddush Hashem, it was Kiddush Haaretz. But that's what Eretz Yisrael means. So therefore, you know, we know that too. Lamai Gerashim Avina, Tzonel Lana Lachaza. We want that inheritance in Eretz Yisrael too. We're not going to go rebel. We're going to ask you for permission. But that Abba Yisrael is there. And that's what we get from Slavchad, who, if he was one of the, if we interpret him as one of the Mabah Pilim.
Except
right. He definitely was wrong.
David's previous comment that they, the Benot Slavchad, because he wasn't part of a group, he was an individual chait. But here he's being put as part of a group.
He does. You're right. So that's a weakness in this.
Right.
Data. However, the argument is that's how you do it. That's how you make this kind of God connection. That's how you tell the story that goes to Nagata, that there's a value right. there.
Right.
It's not perfect.
But it's not bad. The connection of
right.
he tried to get there so, you know, avidly, and he should have a place in Israel. You know, that's a nice connection.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
So I'm going to defend Rabbi Akiva.
Finish well, off, he said right? it was the Koshe. Didn't he say
the Koshe? Yeah, Rabbi Akiva says Mokesh Yeshitzim, right? It was Yehuda ben Tera said, no, you, okay. you don't do a gut, you can't do a gutata. It was part of the Mehapilim, okay. and here's an obvious thing there. So what's the deal with the Mokesh Yeshitzim B'yom HaShabbat? The first thing is that even though we said Bamidbar is pretty common, and therefore it's not really a unique thing, it's not one of those, where have I heard this phrase before kind of thing, it's actually not. What's the Sefer called? It's not called Bamidbar. We're going to be really picky, it's Bimidbar. There's a Shva there. Bimidbar Sinai is the first words there. And most of the time you look in the Torah, most of the forms of Bamidbar, without you have this form of the Shva and the Bet. It's the name of the specific wilderness. Bimidbar Sinai, Bimidbar Sin, Bimidbar Paran. Bamidbar, as it's expressed by itself, always means in the wilderness. And it's much more generic. Going to some place that's not civilized, that's unsettled. For instance, when Moshe talks to Yitro, try to convince Yitro to stay with them, not go back to Midian. He says, "Omer al natoz avotana, don't abandon ki al kenya data, because you know, kanoteno bamidbar. You know how we've been encamped in bamidbar in the wilderness by Yitalanu Einayim, and you were our guide." Okay, the midbar needs a guide there. It's not a specific place. It's trackless. There's no one there. And so the decree for the Bnei Israel to wander for 40 years was simply bamidbar. Didn't say go to any particular place. It did not say, okay, you're going to go south, you're going to head to Eilat, then come back up to the Arabah. It said, you're going to wander bamidbar. Bnechem, you go in bamidbar. In the wilderness here. And again, it happens in, right? This is the first time since this mentioned with Yitro that word as written that way is used. Everywhere else, it's a place. It's the midbar of this or of that. So when the Mokesh Yitzim specifically says, Bayu ben Israel bamidbar, they were bamidbar. That's not telling you a place at all. They were just lost. It's telling you something. And similarly, when B'nai Tzolk'a say, Avinu met ba-midbar, it must mean something. It's not telling you a place. It's telling you it was the result of, both of these things were the result of the decree of we're wandering ba-midbar in the trackless wilderness. So that you can argue there might be a connection there. Both of those are somehow connected to the Bamidbar, that they're in the wilderness. The Sid says that, you know, how is that connected? What did Bnei Israel do after they got this decree? You right wonder back. 40 years. Bamidbar.
I'm listening, but I have to go get something. But I can hear you. Keep going.
And then it's Sid connected to the Perek of Yechezkel that talks about how terrible Bnei Israel were, right? We quote that in the Seder, Lomach B'dmaya Chayi, and how that in Egypt, they were working with Avodah Zarah, and Hashem took them out, and still, I took them out of Egypt, I took them into the wilderness. And I gave them all the laws that they should live by. And they gave them Shabbos as well. That's the sign between me and them. I gave them Shabbos. Shabbos is important. Vayimaru bi Yisrael bamidbar, and Bnei Yisrael rebelled against me in the wilderness. V'chukotai lo halku, v'mishtai ma'asu, and they rejected my commandments, ashe yaseh tamachah behem, that they should live by them. V'et shabtu tai chalukil l'mo'od, and they violated Shabbos a lot. V'mar l'shboch hamati alehem, bamidbar l'chalotam, and I said I was going to wipe them out in the wilderness. So somehow this bamidbar, somehow chil Shabbos was an important part of this. The Sifrei, on our parsha, Mitzvah Ish Mekoshesh says that Moshe tried to stop the Chilul Shabbos. That the Mitzvah Ish Mekoshesh, the idea that they actually found someone, there were people who were doing the finding. They found. Moshe Shomrim. Moshe set out guards specifically for Shabbos, the Matsu Oto Mekoshesh, and they found this guy gathering wood.
So does that mean that it maybe, like Phil said before, maybe it wasn't Bifar Hesia? Meaning if they had to go out and find him. It could have been in a back alley. It wasn't necessarily.
No, we're going to argue that, no, it's the other way around. That this was very public, very intentional. Okay? I'm going to read the Emek Benvar here about the Mitzvah. By Yimtzu'uri, found by Yimtzu'uri by, that you could have said they saw him. The witness said, no, they found him. He can't, there's a phrase, Moshe Hemid Shomrima, all of that. That the phrase says that since it's by Yimtzu'uri, and the ones who brought him were the finders of him, the phrase says they must have had Shomrim, people watching for this. Perish. That they looked and they looked for him and they found him. The Tam Shemidu, and why did Moshe put guards up, put people to look for Chilul Shabbat? Because the generation was, Chilul Shabbat was widespread at this point. Uvar Sefer Yechezkel, Perichet, which we just quoted. Chilul Shabbat Ma'od Bamibar. They did a lot of Chilul Shabbat. And when he's saying they did a lot, he's not talking about the one time after the man that they went out and gathered man. That was the first Chilul Shabbat. And not about this one guy who was gathering wood. Because it really makes sense to say that they were Chilul Shabbat, right? They couldn't be talking about one Koshesh Yitzchim. What's this story about? As a kodar, you put Timber Chilul Shabbat. Everyone was Mechal Shabbat. Shemhachi Uzrak Moshe Betin Lamid Shamrim. So therefore, they put people out to keep, make sure, and to warn them, don't do this, don't do this. Mashichim Kmoshe Asake Nechemia, Hapacha. So if you look at the end of Sefer Nechemia, where Nechemia basically invents what we now call Muksa. All that Takana of Drabanan. So the things you're not supposed to do on Shabbos, that came from Nehemiah much later on. That he saw everyone's brought on Shabbos, they said, okay, I don't want you even handling money or doing business or touching any of the two tools anymore. Too close. And so what Rabbi Shulam made the point last week about in Balotcha, where everything falls apart, that people after all these disasters between Ragvim, we'll have Korah. The people lost faith in Moshe, who's the messenger, and they lost faith in the message itself. They figured, I don't need to keep Shabbos anymore. We're stuck here wandering in the desert. None of this is relevant anymore. Why should I bother keeping it? And in fact, one of the laws in this week's parsha, right before the Mekoshesh Itzim, the law is the Isra Avodah Zarah. Nefesh Yetaseh B'Yad Ramah, Nezrach Menger, anyone who does this intentionally, and Hashem look at Dave and commits blasphemy against God, and that soul be cut off. Hashem be zat, because he has spurned the word of God, and undid, nullified his commandments. Such a person will be cut off. We get karet. Alanaba, his son is there. His sin is there, rather. That the response, part of the response to the sin of the spies and the decree of the spies was this, well, none of this matters anymore. Why aren't the, we got all these commandments, so why should they do them?
The timing, I need to go, the wedding.
The wedding.
I'll read the end of the notes, I guess, but okay. I go on record, I want him, I hope he ends up being one of the Mapi Lim. I like that better.
It's a lovely story too. We don't. This is a goddess. We have to take it seriously, but not literally. Yeah. Okay, we have to read it in either way. Okay.
Yeah.
We don't know who he is. And that's the important part. You don't have to decide.
But the thing is, I got to run. The people knew who he was, so there should be a Masorah who he was because they knew, and they told their kids who he was, and the daughters knew, and there should be a Masorah. So anyway.
Okay. Now, well, so if you didn't miss the actual punchline here, because we were leading, we should get to the punchline here about the Mekoshesh Yitzchim, because everybody's violating Shabbos. So what's this location? Why is Mekoshesh different? And this is what Rashi says, is that connects it to our story, This is Rashi Misoda Shel Rabbi Moshe Darshan. I quoted this from Rabbi Moshe Darshan. It's Rashi saying that. Why is Mekoshesh coming written right after this, the laws of Avodah Zarah? Lomar Shemachal Shabbat Ka'ovid Avodah Zarah. Filing Shabbos is like being Ovid Avodah Zarah. It's equivalent to all the other mitzvot, right? That's Yecheskel's point. You violate Shabbos. That's what Nehemiah says as well, right? That you came down Sinai. That's exactly Nehemiah. That if you're violating Shabbos, you're missing all of the Torah. And that connects to teaching as well. The thing is that no one's going to get put to death for Chil Shabbos. Plus, you have to be warned, right? I mean, the Shomrim are telling you, you can't violate Shabbos, then you say, oh, I'm sorry. And you put it down. And you pick it up again, and they tell you, you can't Chil Shabbos, say, oh, I'm sorry, I put it down. Right? In order for someone to be put to death, you have to actually look the witnesses in the eye. We're going to tell what people warn you. Okay, if you keep doing this, you're going to be stoned. And then keep doing it. That's why the parsha before is all Nechrataya Nefzahi, right? Hashem will take care of the punishment, not this. So what was this Mekoshesh Etzim doing? So the Midrash on this says that this Mekoshesh was doing it intentionally. The same Shamayim Tzaben. Mekoshesh Etzim was doing it the same Shemayim. He had good intention. The Omrim Yisrael, the Bnei Yisrael were saying, Kevin to Nigzar Alehen, Shalom Yiknei Sa'aret, Nasem Raglim, since Hashem just said, we can't enter Yisrael, Shuv Ein Mechui Vim Mitzvot. They said, basically, we should have to keep the Mitzvot anymore. Right? Hashem has wiped out the Brit, it no longer matters. Amar V'chilal K'deila Sheyareg B'yuru Acherim. So he did this just to show, look how important this is. I'm going to be put to death, and you'll realize that Shabbos still matters.
Oh, you think it was a good thing? Like,
I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying it was avera lishma. It was for the sake of him. So that of all the mechal Shabbos, he is the one who says, no, you can't be mechal Shabbos. It still matters. And so I'm going to show you. And it's like the guy who immolated himself in front of the Supreme Court, right? And he's just this self-sacrifice. It's wrong, but I've talked about this in the context of Sefer Yehuda before. And this is where the Targum Yonatan puts it explicitly. Bahaba B'nai Yisrael, Shreem B'midbar, Mad Mad Barah, B'nai Yisrael were camped in the wilderness. Zer Shabbat Ishmada Lahon. They knew about the law about Shabbos. Ram Kenas the Shabbat Lo Ishmada Lahon. But they didn't care about the punishment. Yeah, God commanded Shabbos, but what's the difference? What's God going to do to us? We already got the punishment, right? We're going to wander here. We're going to die. Now what? Come, Gavra Mut Beit Yosef, and so a person from Beit Yosef came, stood up, right? Beit Yosef, right? Tell me, Yonatan is making this connection with Slavtai. Amar B'memre, he said out loud, Izo V'Edlos Kisin. He said to himself, I'm going to go gather some wood. B'yom the Shabbat on Shabbos, Yechmun Yati Tahadia, and the witnesses will warn me. The Yet Nun L'Moshe. And they will give me over to Moshe. Moshe yitba opan midkadam Hashem, and Moshe will learn from Hashem, will teach them from Hashem. B'yati will judge me. V'chein ishmodak k'nasa l'chol b'Yisrael. That way they will teach the punishment to all b'nei Yisrael. Yeshkuk sa'ada yet gavra katosh gosh. And so the witnesses found him when he was gathering the wood. Okar kisin. B'yom Shabbat in his, he was gathering.
How do we know this, though? Because it seems like a very internal thing for the Mekoshesh. Where do we get from that he maybe had higher intentions?
Okay, because we're making this agada connection to Tzlavchad. And we want to look, just like the Ma'apilim, we're trying to look at Benot Tzlavchad coming, you know, had the Zuchut of being Benot Tzlavchad, and he dies Bechet. So how did they get that Zuchut? Okay, that's the agadic way of looking at that. There must have been something there that, you know, Slavkar were such wonderful people who were wise and that they wanted their Yisrael there. It doesn't make his actions right, you know, and so we're connecting it as the Bamidbar, that there's a result of the Bamidbar, the decree of the Midbar, that Mekoshesh Etzim did this. And again, trying to understand it in narratively of how can you be, why would you be put to death? So Rav Schwab, I didn't quote this here, brings it that that's why there's a question of what to do with him. Because they said, well, he had good intent. If he had good intentions, should we really put him to death? He didn't really mean to be Mechal Shabbos. Not an, what's the expression for something doing intentionally? You're only chayev if it's not, if you're doing the if you have intent to do the act that was done in the Mishkan, right? That he meant right, that to understand why he was put to death, he must have been doing something either so terribly chutzpahdik to tell witnesses, no, I'm going to carry anyway, or there was something there. So we want to connect that back to, you know, Slavka say that was there. It was a very relationship Shemite. Not of a love of Eretz Yisrael with Mapilim, but of Torah Mitzvot. I need to teach Bnei Yisrael this. I will do this. Overcome by frustration that he can't do anything. He can't think of anything else to do, right? And the Shabbos they're violating, the school of Kedegan Mitzvot. He's got to demonstrate in the most graphic way possible the consequence of violating it. He's wrong, but we understand a little bit admirable. So I'm going to come back to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva invented finds him with Slavka. With Slavka, who instilled in the children this love of Torah Mitzvot. So if they come to Moshe and say, Lamegar, why should we lose out? And going back, Rabbi Akiva doesn't do Agarata. We saw that. That's not his area. Everyone convinced that you tell him, no, this is not right. But this model, that because Rabbi Akiva is the one who would give his life out of love of Torah Mitzvot. Right? His response to the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash. And that Bnei Yisrael are going to give up on all of this. He wants to show that desperate times calls for desperate measures. And that someone who had the dedication of the Koshe Tzitzin to have children like Bnei Yisrael, who would ensure the continuity of the Jewish future. And that's why specifically Rabbi Akiva says that the Mekoshesh was Slavchad. I think Rabbi Akiva felt that.
So in a way, Rabbi Akiva is sort of saying, like, he's like looking up to him. Like, he's my role model.
Rabbi Akiva, not that I'm going to violate Shabbos, but the effect that I'm going to give my life for this, because this is that important. And that's the only way to ensure the Jewish future. That's something to look at and to possibly learn from.
Mm.
So yeah, Slavkara is the mother Mapilim, fits really well. But there's something we learned to saying that he's with Mekoshesh as well.
That's really interesting. It's really different than the way that at least I would have thought to read it.
So next year you read it this way, because you have to read this again for another year.
Okay. Okay, well, thank you, Ava. That was...
Thank you. Thank you for waking me.
Okay, I'm sorry. I feel bad that I woke you up.
No.
But hopefully you can go back to sleep.
It's worth watching the video, worth watching.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Bye, Emma. I love you. Have a good